let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and we're about to go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today, and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And we've got...
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
That is correct. There is breaking news in the Houston Texans space, and that's because the All-Pro list has been announced. The Associated Press 2024 All-Pro team has been announced, and now the nickname is official. All-Pro Sting, because Derek
that's
Stingley
a good
Jr.
nickname.
Now that's a good nickname.
An All-Pro.
Yeah.
Not no damn closer.
The closer has made All-Pro.
Anybody? Oh, well, I mean, if he wants to be called Chloe, he can be called whatever he wants.
Now first, we can.
First team All-Pro cornerback, Derek Stingley Jr. alongside Patrick Surtain II. Just fascinating and incredible for him. I mean, he well-deserved. Incredibly well-deserved.
Incredibly well-deserved. And, you know, this is one of those things. You know, we came into the show this morning, like, pumped up, hyped up. You know, how's this team going to be able to pull this off when everybody, and I'm using that loosely, but everybody's against them? That's one of the big reasons right there, man. We mentioned him by name. If he can make those types of plays, which he's want to make, and so nice to just have that. First time since 2019 that the Texans have a first-team All-Pro.
And it's a good story with Darius Stingley, too.
Because DeAndre Hopkins being that first-teamer in 2019.
It's a good story with Darius Stingley, too, man. Just how he came into the league and dealt with the injuries and stuff like that. And then Sauce Gardner pretty much getting All-Pro his first year. Mm-hmm. And he stayed low and build. That's the definition of stay low and build.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and there he is. You have an All-Pro cornerback now, and Derek Stingley Jr., first team All-Pro even. So you want to make sure to give him that credit. That's, his 56.9 passer rating versus him, like just incredibly low mm-hmm. when you throw at his direction. 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions thrown at him, and some of those touchdowns were like early on in the season that really – that really tamped down once you got to a certain point in the season. Man, Stingley was incredible, and it's good that he got that level of recognition in being an All-Pro. Some other things that are kind of like breaking in this moment, some real recent news about a former Texan, Deshaun Watson. So we were talking about how they're in Cleveland. The general manager was like, oh, yeah, he suffered a setback. Y'all.
Yeah.
Didn't believe.
Oh, don't have
y'all.
Whoa.
Y'all
whoa,
didn't believe.
Whoa. Y'all
thought that this was some shenanigans.
Hey, if you want to be real, after you break this story, I don't know if I still believe this.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, really?
All right, what we're conspiracy bag over
what
here.
What we are referring to is the news that Deshaun Watson underwent surgery Thursday after tearing his Achilles again. So the idea of the setback, apparently the setback was a retorn Achilles. And so he's undergone surgery. The status for 2025 is now at the very least in jeopardy. And it feels like he's done, right?
Did he hurt it? Did he tear it dancing? I mean, we saw just 2 days ago he was dancing on TikTok. But no, look, you had a great point. And I'm not going to steal your thunder as we were talking about this during the break. And so set it up because I totally agree on this.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the two sides of quarterbacking. Like, this is the physical aspect gone, but it felt like the mental aspect was gone for him as well. Like, we saw him returning. Was that before this season? It's like, all right, he had dealt with some nagging injuries. Maybe you could attribute some of his poor play to that. With him healthy, is he going to be able to do this? And it still looked abysmal. And so you had to turn around and say, okay, maybe this is something in his head.
Mm-hmm.
But at least then he still had the physical aspect of it. I mean, now if you have another Achilles tear as you're trying to rehab, you're getting another Achilles tear. Like, it just feels like the physical aspect of it for him is completely lost. And at that point, what do you hang your hat on
exactly
for this guy?
He was already a mental mess. I don't think very many people will argue that. And now he's a physical mess, at least for the foreseeable future. He's done. He's certainly done in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was about to say done overall career done or
he's got to be.
He's done. He's done. He's got to be career done.
Who's going to pick him up? Who's going to pick up the contract? Who's going to pick up
the only way I can see him maybe being back in the league is if he obviously not making that money.
Yeah,
but he coattail on somebody's team as a fourth string or something like that.
He's trying to work his way in. You take a flyer on him in 2 years.
That's what I'm saying.
What are you taking a flyer on? He's not played at the caliber of being a starter. That has been abundantly clear, right?
Yeah.
What are the things that are necessary to be a backup quarterback in this league? Like, having a problematic backup quarterback is not something that people want, right?
Right approach.
Right? Like, all of those types of things are things that you need. None of those things really feel like they strike, that Deshaun Watson strikes of. So, like, I don't see any reason why a team would go and, like, hey, we need a backup quarterback. Does Deshaun Watson work? Like, I don't think that looks like it. Feels like once you get to 2027 and the Browns are able to get him fully off of their cap, which, by the way, I'm sure that Browns insurance policy, they're like, all right, we're going to cash that and see if we get some cap relief. That'll be nice. Once in 2027, where it's most advantageous for them to finally get off of his books, I think that he has donezo in the NFL.
Yeah, and you mentioned that mental aspect of it. It's a mental thing to try to become a backup.
That's because what I'm saying, approach.
A lot of people, the quarterbacks that starters, they struggle with taking that back seat, being QB number two or three.
Mm-hmm.
So he going to have to go through that part of it. Yeah, I don't know if he's willing to go through that part.
Yeah, I mean, really and truly, like, one of the things I like saying is maybe the most important thing, quality about a backup quarterback is being likable.
Yes.
And that has plummeted for Deshaun Watson in various different ways. So, man, that the text line 68620, they said, I don't wish injury on anyone, but got to confess, this feels a little bit like football gods dishing out karma. Maybe so.
How are they feeling in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, they celebrated him getting carted off the field. I'm sure they're celebrating right now, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there's a lot of people who are torn up about this. So I mean, I'm sure at the best, like, people are kind of neutral. Like, damn, that kind of sucks. However, there's ways that this makes it better on the Browns. And the Browns had already made it abundantly clear that they were planning on trying to bring in some level of quarterback play to at least compete with him. Now you're just going to need to go find a quarterback that you feel comfortable running 18, 17 games with.
Yeah, and from Deshaun's point of view, he got all his $230 million.
Guarantees.
And frankly, you know, from what we know, and maybe it's just, you know, a little bit unfair. I don't think so, but I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
That's all he wanted.
Yeah, so, I mean, he probably don't even care to play again.
Because keep in mind, when they were trying to get rid of him here after everything, and actually he wanted out before the scandal broke, as people will remember, he was trying to renegotiate a contract that he had already received here. That was part of the deal.
A contract that didn't even kick in.
Yes. He was trying to. So it was all about the money from the very, very start. And look at this. I'm looking at his game log right now. 2021. This was the year in Houston. You know, for various reasons, he played zero games.
Mm-hmm.
2022. 6 games.
Sure.
2023, 7 games. 2024, 7 games.
That brother cashed in, man.
He, not durable, obviously. Some of that was the scandal. A lot of it was injury. Bad attitude, injured, a mental mess. I mean, you might be right.
Yeah.
He might be done.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
This is one of those instances where I'll stand on the table and say, no, I'm not. I might be right. I am right.
It's not an opinion. I know.
No, that's a fact.
If he was to make it back, it would be the comeback story that we have seen in the last decade of the league. And I just, America has quite a capacity for the comeback story and giving second chances. I don't know if it goes that far. We might be reaching the boundaries. Mm-hmm.
And with all the money he's making from this, why would he want to come back?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, unless you just want to prove that you still got one season or
guaranteed
something.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
$230 million.
Hey, just travel the world with your girl, man.
Well, he is.
It's over. Yeah. Take the L out of love. It's over, brother. Mm-hmm.
Some of the other stories around the NFL. We mentioned that Rams-Vikings, the wild card game, was supposed to be hosted at SoFi Stadium. They were considering the idea of moving it yesterday. They made it official that wild card game will move to State Farm Stadium in Arizona due to the, you know, L.A. wildfires that are still raging on to this point. They said the decision was made in consultation with public officials locally. And I know one of the things we immediately talked about was, like, kind of the emotional impact, like, mm-hmm. the kind of people going through this traumatic thing and then having a game. One of the things I completely forgot, and you know, I'll raise my hand that you know, this is a real oversight. Remember, that is technically an outdoor stadium. They have kind of the cantilever overhang.
Oh, in L.A.
LA.
Yeah.
Well, that's technically an outdoor stadium. The air quality in L.A. has been really, really rough.
The smoke
due
is
to
hitting
all
the stadium now.
Yes.
As of this morning.
Absolutely. So I can't imagine. I mean, even just outside getting people to the game with that kind of air quality would be problematic. But on the field, I imagine the air quality would be really bad. And playing football in that would just be a workplace malpractice of sorts. So yeah, that game officially will move to Arizona, and it'll be interesting to see what the stadium makeup looks like in that instance, being in Phoenix.
Oh, I think it's wide open now, man. I mean, it's good news for the Vikings, certainly. But I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't play in L.A. And you just make the most of it there.
Yeah, so it'll be Monday at 7 p.m. Central still, but this time in Phoenix. Some other things around the NFL. We mentioned that the NFL has announced their London schedule, or at least the teams that will be playing in London. It'll be the Jets, Browns, and Jaguars who will give up home games to play in London in 2025. We obviously don't know who they will play in those instances. That'll come with the schedule release later in the year, but the only team that the Texans are playing of those three, of course, is the Jaguars. So
on the road,
yeah. Of course. Yeah. So that is the only one that you have the opportunity and the plausibility of maybe going to going overseas for.
Yeah, and that would be the Jaguars, and I still am very much convinced the Texans will play a game overseas this year. It's been a while. Number one, last year they were scheduled tentatively, as I understand it, to go overseas, but then they had the Hall of Fame game because of Andre Johnson. That's the second reason. They were already going to be scheduled last year. So I think the Texans will be there. I don't know if it'll be the Jags, but we'll find out.
We'll find out indeed. One more thing. I guess a couple more things. Zay Flowers, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, big important player for them. He is going to miss the Ravens wildcard matchup versus the Steelers. And I bring this up, if for no other reason, to say that that was one of the games that I was like, I am very strongly feeling like, hey, man, the Ravens should absolutely win this one, cover all those types of things. Mm-hmm. This gets a little more dicey for me now. I know that we had somebody text in, I don't know if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, about, hey, man, this is one of those division matchups, you know, teams that have, you know, seen each other a good amount, you know, common opponents or what have you. And that game can get a little messy. In fact, it was messier earlier this year when they played. And that felt like, hey, man, the Ravens have found their stride, especially defensively. However, without Zay Flowers, who is very vital to their passing game, he's one of those guys you get the ball to in space. He does some really big things. They target him frequently. This game feels like it has the possibility against Squirrely, man.
It has the possibility. I wouldn't bet on it because I mean, we're looking at some highlights right now. They have weapons, man. They have big weapons with or without Zay Flowers.
9.5-point favorites in the Baltimore Ravens.
There. But I do buy into, it's not like exclusively me, but I mean, I'm one of the people that buys into the whole division thing. Like that's gonna be the proverbial slugfest. I think the Steelers are gonna show up a little bit. I don't think they can hold up, but I think they're gonna show up and make it interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see that. That will be the other Saturday game. That's the one that is at 7 p.m. on Prime Video after the Texans are done with the Chargers, whatever that result ultimately looks like. Speaking of Texans, Chargers, That'd be a roundabout way of getting there. But
you can do it. Pull it through.
All right.
Pull it through.
Here we go.
The transition king.
Let's see. This ain't even a joke. I'm just like, let's see if I can do the mental gymnastics.
Speaking of Texans Chargers.
Yes. Azeez Al-Shaair makes his return. Well, I mean, he made his return last week. But Azeez Al-Shaair has the opportunity to play with Christian Harris. And
I knew you could do it.
That return is an exciting part. Of course, the reason why that return is exciting is because you missed 3 weeks due to the suspension with the hit that was heard around the world on the slide that Trevor Lawrence had when they were facing off. Well, Trevor Lawrence spoke about Azeez Al-Shaair for the first time. How did you feel about this response?
Have you ever called?
No. Never talked to him, no.
You disappointed in him ever?
I mean,
pretty dirty hit.
I think it's, obviously it's something that, I've kind of wanted to move on from. Tried to stay away from try to stay away from commenting on the whole deal. You know, I think it's a tough situation. Yeah, I mean, obviously, part of you is like, yeah, it would have been nice to reach out, but I know he's got his own stuff going on, and he's trying to, I think a lot of that is he's trying to fight for his reputation on his end, and I don't think personally attacking the guy is the right answer. You know, I know guys that know him, and everyone says he's a great guy. I don't know him personally, so obviously the hit was, I don't think the hit was right, but I also don't think that, I think if he knew that was going to happen, he wouldn't do it. You know, that's, I would hope no person would do that if they knew the end result.
I thought that was extremely classy, tactful, good on Trevor Lawrence for handling it like that. But, you know, I do think it's a little, and there's probably a good reason, like Trevor Lawrence said. It's a little curious that Aziz Alshaier reached out to everyone, John Runyon, you know, the NFL, Roger Goodell, but not Trevor. That was a little weird.
When you talk about reaching out to the league office,
was a different reason, different, but still, he was trying to.
It feels different than, you know, reaching out to Trevor. But yeah, you would imagine that maybe that would have happened. But I think Aziz is, I think he's made it abundantly clear that there was no malintent there. And it seems like Trevor Lawrence also has that general feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, you could tell didn't like the hit. Like, he did not enjoy the hit. Yeah. But I appreciate Trevor Lawrence.
That reporter that asked the question didn't enjoy that hit either.
Drama.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a dirty hit.
Like, all right, man. Take the battery out, man.
Trying to sow discord. I see.
It was a dirty hit.
But yeah, I guess, again, salute to Trevor Lawrence in that instance for not making it messier than it needed to be and being respectful of our guy, Aziz Alshaier. All right. That's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk more about this wild card game that's going on tomorrow. Where do the Texans have a coaching advantage? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.